Beneath the green covering lay a child with rusty hair, face still round with baby fat, a generous mouth, a figure lacking the lean sparseness of Fremen tradition, but not as water fat as an off-worlder. As the light passed across closed eyelids, the small figure stirred. The light winked out. Now there was only the sound of even breathing and, faint behind it, a reassuring drip, drip, drip of water collecting in a catch basin from the wind still far above the cave. Again the light appeared in the chamber, slightly larger, a few lumens brighter. This time there was a suggestion of source and movement to it. A hooded figure filled the arched doorway at the chamber's edge, and the light originated there. Once more the light flowed around the chamber, testing, questing. There was a sense of menace in it, a restless dissatisfaction. It avoided the sleeping child, paused on the gridded air inlet at an upper corner, probed a bulge in the green and gold wall hangings which softened the enclosing rock. Presently the light winked out. The hooded figure moved with a betraying swish of fabric, took up a station at one side of the arched doorway. Anyone aware of the routine here in Siech Tabor would have suspected at once that this must be Stilgar, Naib of the Siech, guardian of the orphaned twins who would one day take up the mantle of their father, Paul Muad'Dib. Stilgar often made night inspections of the twins' quarters, always going first to the chamber where Ghanima slept and ending here in the adjoining room, where he could reassure himself that Leto was not threatened.
"I'm an old fool," Stilgar thought.
He fingered the cold surface of the light projector before restoring it to the loop in his belt sash. The projector irritated him even while he depended upon it. The thing was a subtle instrument of the Imperium, a device to detect the presence of large living bodies. It had shown only the sleeping children in the royal bedchambers. Stilgar knew his thoughts and emotions were like the light. He could not still a restless inner projection. Some greater power controlled that movement. It projected him into this moment where he sensed the accumulated peril. Here lay the magnet for dreams of grandeur throughout the known universe. Here lay temporal riches, secular authority, and that most powerful of all mystic talismans, the divine authenticity of Muad'Dib's religious bequest. In these twins, Leto and his sister Ghanima, an awesome power focused. While they lived, Muad'Dib, though dead, lived in them. These were not merely nine-year-old children. They were a natural force, objects of veneration and fear. They were the children of Paul Atreides, who had become Muad'Dib, the Mahdi of all the Fremen. Muad'Dib had ignited an explosion of humanity. Fremen had spread from this planet in a jihad, carrying their fervor across the human universe in a wave of religious government whose scope and ubiquitous authority had left its mark on every planet.
"Yet these children of Muad'Dib are flesh and blood," Stilgar thought. "Two simple thrusts of my knife would still their hearts. Their water would return to the tribe."
His wayward mind fell into turmoil at such a thought.
To kill Muad'Dib's children!
But the years had made him wise in introspection. Stilgar knew the origin of such a terrible thought. It came from the left hand of the damned, not from the right hand of the blessed. The Ayat and Burhan of life held few mysteries for him. Once he'd been proud to think of himself as Fremen, to think of the desert as a friend, to name his planet Dune in his thoughts and not Arrakis, as it was marked on all the imperial star charts.
"How simple things were when our Messiah was only a dream," he thought. "By finding our Mahdi, we loosed upon the universe countless messianic dreams. Every people subjugated by the jihad now dreams of a leader to come."
Stilgar glanced into the darkened bedchamber.
"If my knife liberated all those people, would they make a messiah of me?"
Leto could be heard stirring restlessly in his bed. Stilgar sighed. He had never known the Atreides' grandfather, whose name this child had taken, but many said the moral strength of Muad'Dib had come from that source. Would that tell